Hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Talk About It. My name is Annabelle Wiskus. I'll be your host today, and I am so grateful that you are here and you are joining me. If you are brand new to Talk About It, welcome. It is a post-grad centered podcast that posts every single Wednesday, and I am so grateful that you are here and you are joining me. Hello, you guys. How are we doing? You know the drill. What's new? What's going on? Where are we at? You guys, it's chilly. It's been chilly, okay? It was 50 degrees this morning. I went on a walk before church and it was 50 degrees. It was nice. It was brisk. It was chilled. I felt really refreshed coming home. But boy, oh boy, it was cold. It was chilly. We were hitting fall, okay? And I've also noticed on my drives, okay, not necessarily right where I'm at, but a lot of the surrounding areas to me, leaves are changing, okay? Which I feel is just crazy because I know next week, majority of the trees will be like that. It's literally gonna hit so quickly. And I am at the point now where I'm accepting it. Okay, I'm at the point now where I am accepting it. I was holding off on the Starbucks fall menu for a while there because I wasn't ready to commit to the fall drinks yet. I just didn't feel right. Like I was still in my refresher mode. But now that it's 50, I'm like, it's only right. It's only right to cozy up, to layer up, and to get my Starbucks fall order, which is my chai. Okay, the pumpkin cream chai. That's what I get. It's delicious and amazing and awesome. If you have not tried it, try it. It's addicting. That's my warning for you. But you guys, it's chilly, okay? I hope we can all accept this change together and get excited for fall because the transition from summer to fall, it is beautiful. Even though it's sad, it's beautiful. I do love a good fall. I'm rewatching Gilmore Girls right now. If you know it's the season. Yeah. That is basically the consensus of my newness this episode, okay? But I am gonna like squeeze in a little plug moment here. Holy crap. Justin Bieber, Swag 2, holy crap. If you've listened, comment down below. I want to know who my JB fans are. Comment your favorite song on the album. I love them all. Okay, I love them all. That was the best surprise for this week. I freaked out and I paid a tribute to my Sephora, bought some Rode products. You know the drill, you know the deal. I did do that because I just love the Biebers. Anyway, there's a little tidbit there. Love it. I'm obsessed with it. I can't stop listening. I dream about the songs. Okay? They're replaying as I'm sleeping. That's how obsessed I am. But you guys, I have some really fun news, okay? I have some really fun news, okay? We are diving in to my second ever series, okay? If I could have like a button that did like a cheering sound, this is where I would insert that. Okay, that's so imagine like an audience like woo kind of moment right here. We are diving into my second ever series. And I did a poll and I asked you guys what you wanted me to focus on. And so, we are going to do a three-part series on finding your faith. I'm so excited. I am so excited. This is such an important topic to me, okay? I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I just want to share it with you. I want to share my love, what I've done, what I'm doing, what helps me, my passion for my faith. I want to share that with you guys, and I feel like a lot of you guys want to hear it. I feel like if this is something that you've never dabbled in, this is the perfect time to just listen. And I want to start off by saying, I am not a pastor, okay? I did not go to school for ministry, okay? I go to church, but I want this to be a safe spot, okay? I want this to be a safe space where if this is something that you are curious about, that maybe this speaks to a part of your heart that you didn't know was going to speak to because it is relatable, that I am just a girl who loves Jesus and who's just figuring it out and loves what she's learning and has felt the effects and the love and the peace and the grace that God has granted to me. And I just want to share it with you. I just want to share it with you. And so I'm really excited. Okay. Let us dive in. Okay. Let us talk. Let us get into it. Let us talk about finding your faith. You guys, okay, I have my Bible. I have my Bible with me today because I have some verses that I want to share with you guys, verses that have really helped me and have really connected with me. But I also, to keep, you know, the consistency, I have a drink. Okay. This drink here is dedicated to my bestie, Ian. Okay. It is Ian's 24th birthday today. I'm shooting this on Sunday. And I love you, dude. I saw this and I was like, I have to do like a little tribute to you. Okay. So we're going to cheers to Ian. And we're also going to cheers to an amazing episode, to a fruitful episode. I hope God speaks to you in some way or another. And I hope that I execute this episode the best that I can because I am a little bit nervous. I'm going to be completely honest. I'm a little bit nervous because I am freeballing it. I just want to speak from the heart. I want to speak from the heart and I want this to be relatable enough. And so, yeah, I'm going to freeball it. So, we're cheersing to that. Okay, we're going to cheers to that. This is also my third attempt. Oh my gosh, this is my third attempt. Cheers. Okay, cheers. We got this. Love you. I love Jesus. Let's go. That was amazing. It's half empty. I drank majority of it. Okay, amazing. Fantastic. All right, you guys, I want to start with a prayer. Okay, I want to start with a prayer because, again, I'm going to emphasize this again. I want this episode to not just be me speaking to you about what I think is right or wrong. That's not what I want you to take away from this episode, okay? I hope that you feel something from this episode that maybe hits a part of you that you haven't felt in a really long time. Maybe that's discernment. Maybe that's inspiration. Maybe that's peace, okay? Maybe it's just realizing that you aren't alone and that other people are just figuring it out. I don't know what it is, but I want to start this episode praying, okay? Because I feel like that is the best way to invite God into this conversation and to use me as a vessel to speak my words correctly. So we're gonna pray. It's gonna be short, it's gonna be sweet, and it's gonna welcome God into this conversation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to speak to whoever is listening. I hope and I pray, Lord, that this touches someone's heart, that you use me as a vessel to speak what you want me to speak, and that you help guide me to speak it right. I hope that this inspires someone to reach to you, to seek you in ways that they might have not in the past. And Lord, I hope that you put your hand on this episode and give us peace, give us grace, give us your mercy, give us your love, Lord. You are so loving. I hope that someone hears this and they hear you because, Lord, you are all good, you are all powerful, you are almighty. Help me to speak my words with strength and confidence because they're your words, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. And I thank you for the person listening to this. In your precious and holy, wonderful name, we say, Amen. That just made everything around me brighter. Okay. That just made everything around me more vibrant. God is so good. Wow. Okay, you guys. So I want to go into depth a little bit about my testimony, okay? Because I feel like my testimony is very relatable. It's very relatable. And so I'm hoping that that's exactly what you do, that you just relate to it. So we're going to start from literally the beginning. I have always been raised in a Christian household. My parents have always spoken about God and His love and His grace and His wonderfulness. I've always grown up in that atmosphere and I've loved it. Growing up, I went to church, I was in Sunday school. And I believe I went majority, if not every Sunday, if I could, when I was younger. When I got into dance, it was hard for me to participate in church activities because the church that I went to was in a different school district. So it wasn't far from us, but it was a completely different friend group. And then once I joined dance, I rarely saw those people. So it was really hard for me to go to youth group and do this and create those relationships within the church that I felt confident in because I wasn't able to. I wasn't able to participate in that. I had prior commitments that I really, really wanted to commit to. And same with my brother. He was always at gymnastics practice. And so it was just really hard for us because we were there, but we were kind of just there. And I know, like, my mom always tells me this, like, you knew everyone, you know everyone, but it's just different. It's different because when you're not there during those fun times, especially as you're a little kid, you feel like you're not there. You feel like you're not there. You're rarely there, okay? And I knew people, but again, I only saw them once a week. So it was just like a different kind of relationship with my church. I loved it. I loved it. And I still go to that same church to this day. But it was just different. It was just different. And once we had scheduling commitments, it became really hard to feed my church relationships. So as I was growing up, again, my parents have always been such amazing role models for me in terms of God and faith. I went to church because that's what they wanted me to do, and that's what we did as a family. We prayed before we ate. My parents prayed with me before going to bed, and that was kind of how I grew up, and I loved it. I always loved Jesus. I feel like I didn't really understand things. I learned things, but as I look back, like, I don't remember a lot of what I learned. I feel like I was just kind of there. But I always loved Jesus. I did always love Jesus. I just didn't really know a lot about it, right? It's the difference of like, yeah, I love it, but it's also the difference of like, I love it because I know, you know? So that's kind of how I grew up. The cards kind of changed a little bit in a different way. It became a lot more intense when I was in fifth grade. My dad was diagnosed with cancer. He had a tumor in his cheek. And he was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember the conversation. And I remember that year of him going through radiation to heal his cancer. He went through a lot of radiation. And I just kind of felt there was a shift within my parents as I was younger. As I'm like bringing myself back, I always felt like there was a shift at that point. But I was so young, it's hard to understand. And it's hard to really relate to a lot of things when you're young. And I felt like I was a very, 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 I don't say naive kid, but I hated scary movies. I watched My Little Pony until I was like literally in middle school because I didn't like things that made me feel bad. I didn't like my mind being filled with scary, gross things. Like I just truly wanted to stay a little kid forever. I tried to force myself to believe in Santa Claus for the longest time. My brother was so annoyed with me because he was just like, "Why don't you just tell her, like to my parents, he's not real?" But I wanted, you know, to stay naive as long as I could. And so because I was like that, I didn't really understand. I knew what was going on, but I didn't really understand the extent and what was kind of happening. So I was just kind of following. And a year later, my dad had a doctor's appointment regarding how his therapy was going and how his treatments were going. And oh my gosh, it's beautiful. I just see a hummingbird. Oh, that's beautiful. And he came back 100% cancer-free. And I kind of just always knew in that moment, I was like, I never have any doubt. I have zero doubt that there is a God, because that is incredible. My dad, who truly I know was terrified for his life and what was going to happen, surrendered completely to God, and God granted him another chance. And so I feel like in that moment, for me, there was never any hesitation of knowing that there was God, that God was out there and he was watching over us and he was protecting us. But I still never dove into it. I just kind of knew it. I just kind of knew it. And I loved God and I went to church and I did what I was supposed to do. And then as I got older, around like middle school, high school, right? Like older middle school, older high school, you know, I didn't really want to go to church. I kind of fought my parents a little bit more. And, you know, as kids do, you know, you want to sleep in. I was dancing all the time. I would literally be dancing on Sundays. Like it was a full commitment. It was Saturday, Sunday. It was all throughout the week. And then I joined my high school dance team. So it was like 3 hours after school. And then I go straight to studio with all my best friends. And we do like 3 hours after that practice. And then I go home and do homework. And then practice on Saturdays, practice on Sundays. Like it just was such a commitment. And like my mind was just not focused on my relationship with God. But I always believed. So fast forward now to college. Again, always had a faith. I didn't really know what I wanted from my faith. I just kind of knew I had it, and I kind of just said I had it. And again, I feel like because I just knew I had a faith, I really never educated myself on anything. I went to a Catholic university, which it was beautiful being around people who had a baseline faith as well. And then knowing that there was a community in that area of people my age seeking Christ. So, like, I had the ability to connect with people about Christ. And I always did put that like forward to people. I'd be like, I love Jesus. Like, I am Christian. Like, that was never something that I never hid. It was just something that I didn't pursue as much as I wanted to in the moment. But I realized going into college, I really lost myself. I really, really lost myself. I never drank. I never did anything in high school. I was so busy. I didn't have the time to. But college came and I started to drink. I started to go out. Boys started to see me and I started to become attractive to them. And I liked the attention. I liked it a lot. I really liked the attention. And I started to kind of learn how to flirt. And so flirting became really fun. And, you know, it's so exciting, those years of you know what's normal, which is going out, getting blacked out, doing some fun things and having fun with people and, you know, meeting people. Like in that moment, I didn't hate it in that moment. I liked it. It was something that I looked forward to every weekend. I knew I wasn't budding alcoholism, but I enjoyed it too much. I will say that. I enjoyed it way too much. I enjoyed attention way too much because I feel like I never dated really in high school. I had a couple boyfriends here and there, but I was so awkward that I didn't really know what to do. And I just kind of, I didn't really know how I felt. It was so confusing for me because I wasn't like that in high school. So college came around and all of a sudden, boys were flirting with me. They thought I was attractive. Like I was more confident in myself. And, you know, during that time too, it was COVID. So like you're on social media, like you're Snapchatting and you're texting and then you're in the dorms and you're going over to people's dorms and you're drinking and you're having fun. And it's just a completely different atmosphere. I lost myself completely. I really did. And budding junior year, I realized I was getting scared. I really did. I realized I was getting scared. And I started to notice it. But I didn't know what to do because that was the atmosphere. That was what I was surrounded with. Those were the kinds of people that I was living with. And not that that's bad, but you are who you surround yourself with. That's what I was. That's who I was. And I knew that's not how I wanted to be, but I didn't know how to get myself out of it. So, budding junior year, I started to do daily devotionals. I started to do daily devotionals. I was like, you know what? I need to kind of get my act together. And I noticed that the one thing that I didn't have together was my faith. So, I was like, okay, like maybe if I just start kind of like putting things together, like I'll feel, you know, more connected to myself, right? So, that's what I did. I started to do daily devotionals. And it was great. It was great. But I was still participating in the things that weren't filling my cup. Obviously, I'm still surrounded by it. And then junior year, I also started to go to this community in my area called Salt Company. And I went a couple times. I went a good amount of times and I enjoyed it. I kind of went to church a couple times again, but I still was prioritizing going out. So it was like I was weaving it back into my life. I was weaving it back into my life, but I was still participating to the same extent to all of those things that were consuming me, going out, attention, etc. And I realized senior year I needed to change. I really realized senior year that a lot of my friendships weren't fulfilling me. They did not have my best interests at heart and that they weren't making me better. And even though it's hard to say because, you know, those girls and those people who have always been in my life and who were in my life, like, if you are listening to this and we had a bad falling out, I still love you. We just weren't meant to be friends. And I hope that you know I forgive you. And I hope that you can forgive me for that time. But I noticed that just those people weren't my people, but they were who I was surrounded with. So it was really hard for me to do what I knew was right deep down, because what everyone around me was telling me to do was something completely different. And also deep down, I still enjoyed it. I still enjoyed going out. I still enjoyed this. I still enjoyed that. And I wasn't ready. I didn't know how to give it up because I was in college. Like, what else was I supposed to do? I was a senior in college. I was really, really, really committing to Christ my senior year. I was really realizing what I needed to do. But it wasn't until January of, like, right when 2024 hit, that I was like, get it together. Get it together. This isn't you. This really isn't you. I stopped seeking attention from guys. I stopped drinking to the extent that I was drinking. I think I had one more bad night, and that was like awakening. That was like a rude awakening to me of like, get it together. Figure it out. So I stopped drinking to the extent that I was drinking because I just knew it wasn't good for me. And I started to kind of try to commit to going back to church. At the end of that year, I had a boyfriend. I had a boyfriend going into post-grad. And that was great for me. I was like, yes, like, this is awesome. Like, you know, I'm figuring it out. Like, I'm having my first ever boyfriend. Like, this is super great. I'm not seeking attention from anyone. Like, I'm, you know, I found someone and I'm content in this relationship and this is all I want and like da 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 da. And then I'm not going out as much. Like, now I'm finally free of these college chains and I can do whatever I want to do and not feel guilty about it. And I have, you know, a relationship that I had said right in the beginning, I wanted a Christ-centered relationship. Like, I have something that will hold me stable. Like, I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted. And then I realized that that relationship wasn't what I wanted. I learned it at the beginning, but I pushed aside. And I felt like during that relationship, I was kind of fighting between what I thought I needed to do because of societal expectations and what I felt God was pulling me to do. The relationship had great things, but there was a lot of hardship. And I think it was because we were just so different. But I knew in my heart there was a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing. And I felt myself pulling a lot of different ways. Like, I knew I still wasn't drinking. So like, that was something I stood stern in. But it was one of those things where there was people around me telling me they wanted that. Like, they wanted that version of me from college. But that wasn't who I wanted to be. That wasn't true to who I was. Truthfully, that wasn't my heart anymore. My heart was changing. And in this time, keep note too, like, this was the more I went to church. This was the more that I wasn't just doing a 5-minute devotional, but I was actually reading it and like trying to relate to it. And I was going to church. I was taking notes. I was adding worship music into my routine to listen to more. So the more that I was seeking God, the more that I found myself steering away from all those things that I knew I didn't want, but I didn't have the strength to pull away from. Fast forward to then February of 2025, I was broken up with. And in a moment, I was so mad. For a long time, I was really mad. But you want to know what I was more of? Relieved. So relieved. And truly, since that moment, I have never been the same. I go to church almost every Sunday. If I'm not out of town, I'm at church on a Sunday. I don't just do a daily devotional, but I do a series. I do a devotional series. I have connected with girls in Christian groups. Shout out the invitation to where I met some of my best friends now. And I seek godly relationships now. Those are my rocks. And I am solely, solely focusing on recommitting my life to Christ. 100%. I think that the ways that I changed slowly and then all at once, it was miraculous. My heart started beating a different beat when I felt a relief that I was just able to do whatever I wanted to do. and that I chose and am actively choosing to make that commitment to Christ. I felt God bringing me peace, helping to guide me through my hardships, slowly heal me from my past and the things that I've done and the things that I've said that I'm not proud of. But you want to know what I've realized from that? I'm going to just interlude something quickly. The one thing that I've realized from that is the more that I walk down the path that God wants me to walk down and I become righteous, the more that Satan can only use my past because he has nothing new on me, okay? So when I get anxious or when I get stressed about my past and things that are brought up or things that I remember on a random Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, night, evening, midnight, I don't know, anytime, when I realize and I remember things, I realize it's because I'm truly becoming closer and one with Christ. And so because I'm doing that, the only thing that they have on me is things that happened 2, 3 years ago, 7 years ago. And God brings those up. He reminds you of that. Satan taunts you, but God reminds us of that to, one, show us where we came from, and two, it is honestly an answered prayer. Because when we pray, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Lord, help me to be one with you. Help me to learn from you. Help me to become better, to become a better person. He brings things up in your past that you can reconcile, not run, but to reconcile and to grow from. Because the more that you grow, the more that you grow closer to Christ. I felt a change. I felt a change. And I see a change. I was literally talking to my dad about this today. He was like, those relationships that you had with your ex and then with your friends and with all this stuff, the things that you went through, it has changed you. And you have become so strong and you've become so sure of yourself and you know what you want. And it showed you the path that you're supposed to be on. And it's crazy because that's only been 7 months. God works so slowly with us, but he does it because he's steering us and morphing us into a new person, into a new life. And so I think that's really cool. I think that is really cool. And that is kind of my testimony, kind of wrapping that up. That is my faith journey, okay? That is kind of what I grew up with, what I went through, where I'm at now. And I did spare a lot of details. I was very broad with a lot of things. And I think it's relatable because I think that's a lot of the ways that we all are. I think when we get into a community such as college, it's really easy to devote your heart and your time and your mind to those earthly desires of things that you think are important to you right then and there, which is what's going on in college. When really, we just completely forget about Christ. We forget about God. And I hate to admit that, but I did. A lot of the times I forgot. I've always loved him. But I never made him a priority in my life. Never. Until I graduated. Truthfully, when I was able to release the chains that I was caught in and the idea of me that I was caught in, and I was able to move back home, reconnect with my younger self, slowly and surely find my way back and out of a relationship that wasn't meant for me. And now I'm in a time where I am slowly but surely healing everything that has been hard. So yeah, so long story short, there's that, my testimony, okay? And I want to share a couple of verses with you, okay? I want to share a couple of verses with you that have really helped shape me and have really, really, really connected with me. So I want to open up my Bible, okay? So the first verse, which I actually know this one at the top of my head. This is my life verse. And growing up, when I realized I had anxiety and it was really hard for me to sleep at night, I used to write this verse on my finger. Write like the name, right? Write the name on my finger with Sharpie. And I had really bad sleeping issues. And I rewrote it every night. And I would recite it every night in my head. So it's engraved. It's engraved. And one day, if I ever decide to get a tattoo, that is the one that I would get. It's Joshua 1:9. And it is, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I literally feel like I recite it all the time. It's such a powerful verse, and there's so many verses that are like that, but that one is truly magical. Another verse that has become very close to my heart is 2 Timothy 1:7, which this is also a very popular one, but I love this one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I heard this in my Bible study with my besties, shout out, and I realized that this is how I want to be, having my spirit be full of power, love, and self-discipline. Another translation has a sound mind. I love that. I love that. That's how I want to be. I want to have a sound mind. And below this is 2 Timothy 1:9. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I've been doing readings of chapters in my devotional series. I've been trying to like slowly start to read the Bible and to truly color it, okay, with highlighters and pens and my own narrations and my own understandings, which I love. So with that said, I read James, which James was Jesus's brother, which I didn't know that, okay? Kind of crazy. I know. I didn't know that, okay? But James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for the loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And I wrote a little note next to this, which I really like. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking less so you can think of God and others more. Mic drop moment, you guys. That just hits so hard. It just hits so hard, you guys. In the society that we live in, to solely put yourself first, okay? Which is fair. It's fair because we want to put ourselves first. We want to make sure that we are taken care of and that we are solid and that we are okay. But you know what? God asks us to think of others. To think of others. And that's so hard to do sometimes. So hard to do because your first instinct is, what do I want? What do I need? What's going for me? What do I not have? What do I want? What do I need? Humility, it's not thinking less of yourself, but just thinking less. So you have more room for God and for others. Another book that I read was Romans, which Romans is amazing. If you haven't read Romans, I'm telling you, read Romans. But this verse is Romans 6:19. And I'm starting at, previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawless, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Amen. Amen. I love that one. I love that one because it's so true. It's so easy to let ourselves be controlled by the lawlessness of the world because it's fun and it's exciting and it's just in front of us and everyone's doing it and that's what we're supposed to be doing because we're young and we can do things and la la la. But it doesn't fill your cup. It doesn't make you feel any better. It doesn't. Because it's temporary. Everyone tells you that it's temporary, but you don't want to think about it because you want to enjoy being youthful and you want to enjoy being reckless and crazy and experiencing these things. But if you commit your life to doing things that fill you and that are better for you, you will be more content with your life. And you will feel more connected to God. And you will feel more connected to yourself. And those worries of anxiety, depression, fear, sin, whatever it is for you, certain things may still be there because that's life and Satan will stop at nothing. But truthfully, when you commit yourself and you truly not just say you're going to do it, but you commit to it, you're not going to be perfect. But when you do that, slowly and surely, like an artist and with clay, you'll be molded. So another verse, I'm just going to keep going until I run out of my verses, but another verse that I actually had bookmarked was Acts 1:8. When it comes to finding your faith, one thing that I truly, truly realized was that no one can tell you what's right and what's wrong as you are figuring it out, as you are following where God is leading you. Everyone's journey, everyone's story is different. It's different. It's not going to look the same. I hope that this series opens up a door for you that you didn't know was open. And I hope, again, I'm going to restate this, I hope that you don't take this away as being forceful. I want to inspire you. I want you guys to feel the peace and the joy and the love that God has granted within me. And even though this was an introduction episode to this series, as we're going to get into deeper topics, I do hope that you feel God speaking to you. And that you feel some sort of excitement for the next episode to hear more and to relate more and to understand more. And that there is release from the chaos. There is certainty in the uncertainty. And I think if there's one thing that I have taken away from so far my journey with Christ is that there's so much consistency. Because he is persistent. He's persistent. He left the 99. For the one missing. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. This is going to be a really fun series. And I know, I feel like when I do a testimony episode or when I listen to testimonies, it's a lot of just hearing about that person's life. But I feel like this is something that's so relatable. And I've wanted to share my testimony. I've wanted to share the things that I've seen and what I've learned and what I'm continuously learning and where I'm at. And I feel like this is the perfect time to do that. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, let me know. Leave a comment, leave a review, leave a rate, okay? DM me, message me, anything. Follow me. Talk about a podcast on everything, okay? I love you guys so very much. And I can't wait for this series and for you guys to love it, okay? So I will see you so very soon. I love you. Bye.